We're looking at a different sort of passage this morning. In fact, at first when I started looking at it, I thought I probably should have went another 10 or 15 minutes longer and preached part of this passage last week, because it goes so well with what we've been talking about. But as I looked at it, I got to thinking through it, and I thought, you know, there's more here than meets the eye. And so we're in, starting in verse 19, we're going to talk about Timothy and Epaphroditus and how they fit into this whole big context here. And in verse 19 of chapter 2 of Philippians, it says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." All right. I'm going to ask you a question. In all your studies, where do you normally see Paul talking about people and places? Okay, in all of your reading, where does Paul normally put, "I'm sending to you, I'm coming to see you, this is my plans"? Where at? At the end. So if you look in Romans chapter 16, you see a whole list of names. Look out for this person, say hi to this person, and all this, right? This is his pattern. Okay, now, but look at where he puts this stuff here. It's right in the middle. And does anybody find that odd? There, I got one. Good. I found this extremely odd. As I was reading this week and studying and thinking through this passage, I'm like, why in the world would Paul start talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus and his plans to travel to see them and all this other stuff and how to treat Timothy and Epaphroditus when they get there? Why would he put that right in the middle? Unless it has something to do with one of my favorite words, context. Okay? So as we look, I have lots of favorite words. As we look at the context of Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, Paul is in jail, right? And the church at Philippi, they're distressed because the person that they've partnered with, the person that they're following, the person that has led them to Christ, and they're concerned about the ministry. And so they've sent Epaphroditus to help Paul. You know, and Paul basically tells them, look, you know, God's going to get you through this. Everything's going to work out. But if there's anything that you can do, the next step for the church, the next step for the church at Philippi, he says, you need to have the same mind. You need to think about who Christ is and what he did and what he didn't have to do because of who he is. Or he shouldn't have had to do because of who he is. that the church should have similar mind, like-minded, that the church should be humble, that the church should be moving in a particular direction, right? Then he says, I'm sending to you Timothy. I'm sending to you Epaphroditus. Why would you think that Paul would do this here and not at the end? He knows some stuff's coming, okay? Why else would he start talking about humility and he start talking about like-mindedness and then say, here's Timothy and Epaphroditus? To establish credibility. Close. Getting warmed up. Close. To set examples. He's sending Timothy and Epaphroditus so that they can model to the Philippians what it means to be like-minded, what it means to humble themselves, and what it means to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. All of a sudden, he says, here, look at these guys. Paul can't do it. Paul can't show up and say, let me show you how to do this stuff. So he says, go look at Timothy and look at Epaphroditus. It's the whole reason for them being right smack dab in the middle of this book. And so let's look at it again with this idea, with the discipleship idea, with the modeling idea. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. Okay? He says, I can't come, for obvious reasons. Okay? Paul's in jail. He's awaiting trial. He says, you know, I think I'm going to get out of this, but I'm going to send to you Timothy in a little bit when I kind of know how things are going, and I'm sending Epaphroditus to you. I want to show you why I'm sending. He says, because I'm sending Timothy. There's nobody like Timothy who will look out for your welfare. There's nobody, he says, for everybody else, they look out for their own interests, not the interests of Jesus Christ. I want us to think about that just for a second. Church, if we are going to follow Christ, if we're going to make sure that we continue moving forward as a church, if we're going to continue in a certain direction, we must be like-minded. And so here we have Timothy, and Timothy is a person who is like Paul. He says, and actually when he says, I have no one like him, what he's saying is, I have nobody who is as like-souled as Timothy. Now, let me ask you a question. How much alike do you think Paul and Timothy were? What do we think? When we think of Paul, the Apostle Paul, do we think of somebody who, I don't know, let me ask you your opinion. When you think of the Apostle Paul, what do you think about him? What kind of a personality did he have? Okay, we got a what? He's a type A personality. Okay, he probably was humble, but he probably had an aggressive type of be in charge, that type of a presence. He was the type of guy that when he walked into the room, you knew he was there and he was making his presence known. All right? Now, when we think of Timothy, what kind of person was Timothy? It was more reserved, even maybe a little on the timid side. Now, wait a minute. Which one of us, which person would you feel more comfortable with? Paul or Timothy? The one that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. Nice. I like that. How can Paul say that Timothy is like souled when they have two completely different personalities? Excuse me? They have the same Lord. Good. How can they be like souled when one is aggressive and one is a little more passive? Their priorities are the same. It has nothing to do with their personalities. Doesn't that give you great joy this morning? To know that your personality does not hinder you from serving Christ. If you tend to be more aggressive in your approach, guess what? You can serve Christ. If you tend to be more humble in your approach, or not humble, timid in your personality, you can still have an impact. Paul says, look, I'm sending Timothy because there's nobody else as like-souled as he is. Have you ever met somebody that's like-souled with you? They just, all of a sudden you just start clicking. Somebody who is like-souled, they have the same passions. They have the same priorities. You ever met somebody with the same passion? Now, we have differing passions and different things. You know, me and Steve, we get along really well. And you know what's coming, don't you? Because we root for the Hawkeyes. Oh, yes. Having those same similar Iowa roots, you know, or, you know, about football season, I have somebody else in here to cheer along with me. That's great. But when you meet somebody and you're talking to him for the first time and you say, I like hunting dogs, all of a sudden, what happens? What? We hunt. Yeah. We do stuff. You know, all of a sudden, when you say, I like whatever, and you get into a conversation. You know what I think with Paul and Timothy? I think Paul and Timothy were so like-souled that when they got together, they talked shop. They talked about ministry. They talked about what the Lord Jesus was doing in their life at that time, and they meshed really well together. It wasn't because of their personality. It was because of their passion. So, church, as we think about what it means to be like-minded, and Paul is telling us here, be like-minded, be like Christ who was humble, put others first. Excuse me. What does that tell you about our need to be plugged into the body of Christ, to be gathered together, to be working towards something? That we should have a similar passion. We should have a similar priority, and that passion and priority is Jesus Christ and what he wants us to do, right? I mean, here he says, when he gets down, he says, for they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying, he says, while I'm here in jail, I have these people around me. He has people that are coming to minister, and there are people in Rome who are interested in learning from Paul. They're being discipled from Paul. Wouldn't that be cool? But there's nobody else that Paul wants to send to Philippi other than Timothy and Epaphroditus. You know why? Because these other people haven't learned yet to have the same soul. They haven't learned yet to put the welfare of others first. Not like Timothy. Timothy goes into a place and he's not interested in himself. He's interested in the welfare of the people that he's ministering to. When we come together, whether it's for our corporate worship service, whether it's for our small group, whether it's for our Bible study, whether it's for you can fill in the blank. When we come together, Grace Life Church, do you think about the welfare of the person that you're meeting with? I mean, that's a huge challenge. Do you think about ministering to them and what that means? Because now all of a sudden, instead of meeting together because of the fellowship is a good thing, right? But it serves that need to have that community, that need to have the friendship back and forth. It's all, I mean, you could think in terms of fellowship, while it does consider other people because they're involved, obviously, but there's a lot of me involved in fellowship. And so when we get together, fellowship is fun. Sunday, when we come together for the picnic, fellowship is going to be awesome. And I'm going to love it. But come with the mindset that you want to serve somebody. That you're there to encourage somebody. That you're there to help them, to minister, to whatever it would happen to be. What would it look like if every Sunday we came to meet together? What would it look like if we came for the sole purpose of ministering to one another? Would it change how you view church? Timothy, Paul has taken Timothy and he's setting him up on a pedestal. I mean, he's like, here, look at Timothy. Look how he acts. Look at his mannerism. Look at what his priorities are. Think about what Paul said to Timothy as an example in I can't remember if it was 1st or 2nd Timothy. Timothy is so concerned about other people and ministry to other people that Timothy won't do something. He won't drink wine. So much so that he's got a medical problem and Paul has to say, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. That is the extent that Timothy will go to minister to people. There's nobody like him, Paul says. He says, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So not only is Paul encouraging the Philippians to accept Timothy as a model, as somebody to look up to, as somebody to emulate. But he's also telling them, look, he is like my son. Paul had personally led Timothy or been a part of Timothy's growth, his discipleship. So much so that he considered him to be a son. Now, what do sons do with their fathers? They imitate them, right? Funny story. So this week we went to camp. And if you have a big family, oftentimes you get about one day into it and think, you know what, I should have brought this. Oh, this isn't going to work. We need this and this and this. Okay, so you need to go on a Walmart run. Yes, sir. So here I go. I go on a Walmart run, and I take the kids with me. And Eli, because Jack and Becca were camping, Eli is the oldest at this point, and so he takes his opportunity and he sits in the front. The older kids get to sit in the front with Dad. And so we're going, and he climbs in, and he hasn't ridden in the front very much at all, because he's got to compete with Jack and Becca. And so he doesn't always get that opportunity. So he's in there, and he sits up front, and he buckles in, and he looks at me, and we're going down the road. And all of a sudden, he puts his hands up. And at first I was like, what are you doing? And I didn't say anything. I just watched him out of the corner of my eye while I'm driving. My eyes are on the road. You know, and I drive like this. I don't do 10 and 2. I drive at 12. Right? That's okay. And sometimes it's hanging on 12. But it's there sitting at 12 o'clock, and I'm looking over at this kid, looking at the road, looking over, and I'm watching him, and he's just kind of, and then I turn a corner. And then I turn out of the corner. Fathers or sons imitate their fathers. They just do. It may not be in the way that you drive, but it may be in your mannerisms. It may be in the way that you do something else, or how you go about solving a problem. Timothy had learned directly from Paul as a son. And I would imagine that Timothy and Paul know each other so well that Timothy knows exactly what Paul would do, what scriptures that Paul would go at, how Paul would handle a certain situation. And so he says this to encourage these people. Look, sending Timothy is just like coming myself, except it's Timothy and not me. He's the son. He says, I've had the opportunity to disciple this man over a good portion of his lifetime, and we have this great relationship together. And he served with me in the gospel. He says, I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust the Lord that shortly I will come myself also. So Paul says, look, I'm going to send him when I can. Timothy is very valuable to Paul. I can't send him just yet, but I'm sending him later. But he says, I'm sending to you somebody else now. He says, I wanted to take a look at Epaphroditus. I have thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and my fellow worker and fellow soldier, as your messenger and minister to my need. Okay, what is this saying about Epaphroditus? Excuse me? He's been with Paul for a while. Epaphroditus, so when the Philippians had sent Paul help, whether it was money or whether it was support of some sort, I don't know. We don't know. Paul doesn't exactly say. But the Philippians were so invested into Paul's ministry that they said, you know, we need to send somebody to Paul. Do you realize what they're doing? We need to send somebody to Paul. They are ministering to Paul through Epaphroditus. You can't take the whole church, can you? It just wouldn't work. However, we can send somebody to go and minister to Paul. An interesting thought. And so Epaphroditus goes, and he's there with Paul, and Paul calls him my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. All right? All these words, my brother, these are relationship words. When he calls him a brother, he's not just saying he's my brother in Christ. I mean, how many people do we just say, well, he's a brother in Christ? Yeah, he's a brother in Christ. No, that wasn't the way it was. Paul is talking about Epaphroditus as they also have this strong bond. Now, it's not like Timothy that Paul has basically raised in the faith. But Epaphroditus has come to help, and he's come to work in the ministry with Paul. He's got that same let's do it for Jesus mindset, right? And so Paul calls him a brother. Paul also calls him a fellow worker. A fellow worker, somebody who works with, a fellow slave, so to speak. You know, when people go out and they accomplish a task together, what does it do to their relationship a lot of times? It strengthens it. You're working arm, especially in something that you consider that matters, right? They've locked arm in arms in this labor. and they're pushing forward. They're doing something. You know, when I used to do commercial concrete construction work and in Texas, and so it usually helps if you speak Spanish in that context. And so it was kind of interesting. At first, when I was doing things, they didn't talk to me. I didn't talk to them. That was just how it was. But, well, because number one, I was the son of the superintendent, so they didn't want to get in trouble. I was a white guy, so they knew I was, you know, I could speak to, you know, the boss and whoever. So they just kind of left me alone, and I left them alone. But until you get into the mud and you're pulling concrete together, you know, these guys, you know, they're out there and they, you know, they're pulling concrete around, screeting it off, all that kind of stuff. Finally, they start talking to me, and I start talking to them. You know why? It's because we're doing something together. It even became a joke, because this one guy, his name is Beto. Beto looked at me one day. He says, "You and me, we're the same. Different engine, but the same." He says, "You're a diesel, I'm a Chevy." Okay. But when you build that camaraderie through work, it strengthens that relationship. And Epaphroditus, when he got over his sickness, I imagine that when he was there with Paul, he just jumped right in. He says, "Paul, what do you need me to do?" He says, "Let's go talk to this Praetorian guard. Can you bring me news from the church here at Rome? Can you go to them and tell them this?" And so Epaphroditus got in there. Not only that, but Paul calls him not just a fellow worker, somebody who works with, but he's a fellow soldier, somebody who soldiers with. Paul says, "Look, Epaphroditus, he's been in the fight with me. He's been in where it's hard." You know, Epaphroditus seems to be the type of the guy, you know, when you play sports and things, he's not afraid to take one for the team. You see people playing volleyball and they go out there for a save, and what do? They dive way out there for it, and you know it hurts when they land, but they make the save, right? I think Epaphroditus is that kind of a guy. He's out there warring. He's not afraid to get in the thick of it. He's not afraid to get in the fight, the spiritual battle. He says, "Look, I got Paul with me." He says, "I know who Jesus is, and Jesus is going to help me, and I'm going to go in this thing, and I'm going to fight. I'm going to move this forward." So Paul calls him a brother, he calls him a fellow worker, he calls him a fellow soldier. He says, "And your messenger and minister to my need." So by this we understand, by these words, a messenger and minister, that Epaphroditus was sent to Paul as a messenger to tell him what the Philippians were thinking, what the Philippians were feeling, and all that kind of good stuff. And he was also a minister. They say, you know, the Philippians told Epaphroditus, you go over there and you help Paul. And you know what he did? He did it to an extent that he even almost ruined his health. How many of you are ready to ruin your health for the cause of Christ? Epaphroditus was. He has the same goals as Paul. He has the same like-mindedness that Paul is trying to tell the Philippians about, like Timothy. He says this, "For he is belonging to see you, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him. Therefore, you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." What was unfinished. So, by this, I kind of understand that as Epaphroditus was taking the Philippian gift to Paul, somewhere along the way he fell ill. Now, normally when we get ill, what do we do? Do we call into work and say, I'll be there in 10 minutes? No, that is not what we do. In fact, our bosses are usually like, yeah, just stay home. Epaphroditus, he didn't call in sick. He's traveling. He says, I've got to get this to Paul. I've got to get this to Paul now. And so he fought through his illness to minister to Paul. He fought through what was making him sick, and it almost cost him his life. The ministry was that important to Epaphroditus. Can you imagine the strength that it takes to do that? Being sick on the road in that day. It wasn't like you could just, you know, when we travel with kids and one of them gets sick, you just kind of say, okay, put your head down and, you know, here's a bag and, you know, you just kind of tough it out and maybe we'll be at the hotel in a little while, something like that, right? We don't do that because we have cars and, you know, you can still rest in a car. Epaphras was walking through this. The ministry, doing what he was supposed to do, was so important that it almost cost him his life. I think that's a little extreme. Don't you? I tell you what, when my back goes out, and if it happens to be on a Sunday, you know, that's tough for me to get out of bed. I can't imagine what it would be like trying to get here when I can't move, having somebody prop me up in the front and preaching like this. I can't imagine it. Most of you would probably tell me to do what? Go home and rest. Don't even come. I can't imagine what that would be like. But for Epaphroditus, this was so important. Now, what are the things that we as a church glean from holding these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, up? What does it tell us about the relationships that we should be building? What does it tell us about the importance of the message that we present? What does it tell us about the need for us to be with the church, to cultivate the community that's here? I mean, what does it tell us? I mean, I talked through this, as I thought through this, I'm like, wow. These guys had so much more grit than I'll ever have. By the way that they've thrown everything to the cause of Christ. They've basically said, here I am, Jesus, use me. They're so like-minded, it's so important to them to further the cause of Christ, to grow the Christians, the church there at Philippi. That's who these guys are. That's why Paul sticks them in the middle of this book. Because he raises them up. He says, look at these guys. In fact, as he talks about Epaphroditus, he says in verse 29, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. Now, Paul sends him back. Paul probably sends Epaphroditus back a little earlier than he's planning. I'm going to go up and I'm going to minister with Paul for, let's just say, 2 months. But at the end of the month, they're sending Epaphroditus back. And, you know, people at Philippi could be saying, what are you doing here, Epaphroditus? You're supposed to be in Rome with Paul. But they're also like, they're also worried about his health. They're like, hey, you about killed yourself doing that. We're concerned for your safety. We're concerned for who you are. And it says that the people there at Philippi, they yearned for him. He yearned for them. And they had that type of a relationship together. But Paul says, look, these people who are willing to risk it for Christ, you need to rejoice that they're with you, and you need to honor them. Now, let me ask you this. who's doing the honoring here? Epaphroditus and Timothy, were they saying, look at me, look at me, look at me? Absolutely not. In fact, they were following, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and being made after the form of a servant, in the likeness of men, he humbled himself, so much so that he humbled himself even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That was their mindset. Paul and Timothy weren't out, you know, raising their own banner. They didn't care if they were the most popular guy in the church. They didn't care if somebody said, hey, look, Timothy did this, or hey, look, Epaphroditus did. They didn't care one bit. But Paul says it, you know, as, I mean, think about what the Bible says in James and in Peter, where he says, humble yourselves and he will lift you up. One of the ways that God does this is through the church. Humble yourself. Let other people do the, hey, let's honor these people for what they do. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to recognize when people are serving the Lord in the church. It's a good thing for us to honor them. You don't do it for that reason, but as a church, we should look around and recognize those who are serving, especially when they're sacrificing for the cause of the ministry. And we should honor them. But I mean, this is an extremely convicting text. To look at these men and to say, hey, this is who we need to model. This is who we need to emulate. This is who we need to be like. Because we're so focused on, you know, we look at Christ, and that's great. We should be. How is it played out? What does that look like for us to be like Christ? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I think Paul here has said, follow Timothy, follow Epaphroditus. They follow Christ. They're looking to Jesus. Find the people who are following. Find those who are looking at Jesus and emulate them. Be like them. We come here to minister. And we see somebody ministering, and we see somebody sacrificing for Christ. We need to say, look, what are they doing that I can do? What are they doing that I can be like? It doesn't matter if they have the same gifts. It doesn't matter if they have the same personality. But as a church, we ought to have the same mindset. We ought to have the same goals. We ought to have a similar passion, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is telling us about here. Shall we pray? Oh, Jesus, when we see this passage, we look and we notice that we fall short. I know I fall short. The determination from which these men had when they were serving you is amazing. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to look at those around us who are serving you, and even maybe to sacrifice, and help us to emulate, help us to honor. Help us to serve not so we can have our own names lifted up or to look good in front of other people, but help us to serve out of a passion for people. To find those around us who need your word, who need your love, and I pray that we would be giving it. And we just thank you for what you do for us. We thank you for the blessings that you have. And I can't wait to see, Lord, what you'll do when you help us do these things. Help us to serve each other. In Jesus' name, amen.